think we're...
They live on the Carol connected. Call. They hardly ever come.
No, go ahead and record.
They own two houses just right by the cat lady, by Gwen. Right.
Okay, that's working. Oh, this isn't working yet. Let me record this.
Still there. And then they bought the house next to it. Well, the house next to it, they didn't have any problems.
We should be live now.
The other one with the lot. Turns out she tried to sell the house.
It wants me to update to iOS 12.
Where's the title? Where the...
Is there anything on iOS 12?
My recommendation, regardless, is wait two versions. Actually, better three. If you're really not tempted, wait three versions. Because when they put out an update, there's undoubtedly problems. And so they fix them in the first update.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the second update may break something in the first update and go back to resulting in the same kinds of problems or worse. And the third update cleans up all those messes. So a 0.3 is what I would normally... If it's 12, it's 12.3 you're waiting for. It's.
I was reading someplace that unlike 11, only 10 or 12% of the people have updated to 12.
James is here. Hey, James, come join us.
Good morning.
We have not started yet. You are welcome to sit there. I've already started streaming, but I have not announced anything yet. So you couldn't be more on time.
We had two lots.
Let me see what my shot looks like here.
Four children. My son died a couple of years ago.
Morning, Ed.
Morning, James.
Three daughters. One is blind. Second daughter takes care of the blind one. The third one.
Right.
Gimme, 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 gimme.
Actually, ours was
Let
me try it again.
Yeah, did you get it?
Go ahead and do
get it working?
Yeah, it's light. It's a low level light.
That's the problem.
I don't know how to phrase it.
There are probably much more accurate with the phone because it can just turn on a flash.
The delay. And she even threatened it. She said she's hired an estate attorney. I looked it up. There's no such thing as an estate attorney.
It'll be the death of us.
I mean, and she lied
I wouldn't.
She thought that they would.
I wouldn't be too worried about it. It's been a like insane tech week.
But anyways,
as far as news goes,
minimal.
How come I still don't have you in my shop?
You're invisible.
That's right. You're
invisible.
She's not 19. She hasn't paid the gardener. The gardener worked for 7 or 8 months.
I got another foot or two I can work with.
Then you have leads. And that goes on forever and ever and ever. You never get rid of anything.
No, well, now you can lean into the shot.
Well, I object to those decisions made by
the dad.
And if you want your face on it, you're going to have to look that way.
Bent over backwards.
I want
that
way. I'm going to budge.
She thought she would have
awesome.
The house within 2 or 3 weeks.
Short one.
Well, nothing happens like that down
there. Let's see if this will work. You go here. And that is.
The thing was, he also
here. Nope. That was the wrong one. Darn it.
His girlfriend of 15 years. They were really
this one I wanted to disconnect.
Okay. Well,
now we'll have to break
the daughter is
activate. There we go.
That part.
You can see your video. Let's pull out Zoom. There we go. I think that's got us all on board now.
You need 3
his
more
whole estate was
I do, don't I?
Among the three remaining children.
There I am. Hey, we're ready to start.
And the cars and money and
we are recording.
Beer.
We're streaming and recording. I think we're good to go. Can I introduce us? Are you guys ready for us to start our meeting? To come together right now. Over me. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, world renowned for solving computer problems.
What world?
Scott's world.
Is this a world we're not familiar with?
I am a legend in my own mind. Oh, look at that. I've got one. Here I think we're ready, and I've got one camera that's off. We met last week. We had a great meeting. But there has been some insane news that has happened over the last week. Some of it happened before the meeting last week, but I wasn't too up to date on what was going on. So I have brought some really interesting topics that I'm happy to share. So I've got a plate full, a plethora of different things that you might be interested in. But first, I'm interested in what brought you to Computer Club today. Do you guys have questions you need answered or topics you'd like to talk about? Ed, did you bring anything today?
No, I did not.
Oh, excellent. I've got you covered. Linda, you got something that we should be talking about today? Anything that's...
Mesh network.
Well, we had most of that pre-meeting discussion on mesh network. Yeah. Which is an awesome way to do Wi-Fi now. You know, what we didn't talk about was not only can it make its own distinction what route it's going to take. You add more access points to your mesh network and you add more opportunities for a good connection. Because more opportunities for that flow of data. It doesn't have to go straight back to the router. It can go to whatever the quickest hop is in your mesh network. The other thing I was going to say is because it's a proprietary network like Netgear's Orbi or the Eero, they can use their own antennas, they can use their own frequencies, so it doesn't suffer from interference from traditional Wi-Fi, which is what your traditional wireless extender suffers from, is it also suffers from the interference of your neighbor's Wi-Fi. You have 12 Wi-Fis around your area, it's going to really matter what traditional Wi-Fi extender technology you're using, because it's got to keep up with all that interference in your neighborhood. With these proprietary mesh networks, they can use a protocol that includes hardware and software to let them talk to themselves the most efficiently possible and not interfere with your traditional Wi-Fi that's out there. So there's a lot of advantages to this upcoming, we're all going to be looking at switching over to this kind of platform for our Wi-Fi.
Well, you mentioned last week about changing something in our Telmex. I have the older Telmex box, the one that's about this big.
Okay.
Everybody else has got these stand-up, whatever.
With the antennas. And I like the older boxes.
Well, I just have an older small box about this big.
Mm-hmm.
And you said about going in there and turning something off or something, and I just didn't. I've never been in the box.
Well, you may not even need to. There may be a switch on the side. And I was talking about just turning off the Wi-Fi it's providing. You would eliminate one security threat potential, because it would not be broadcasting Wi-Fi any longer.
Oh, the Telmex router would.
Yeah, that's right. And you just use that as a bridge to your new system. So that router would be, there physically be just a cable that connects that router to your Orbi network. And there's nothing else that thing is doing. It doesn't broadcast Wi-Fi. If it was somebody like me, I'd lock it way down. I would let the Orbi do everything and try and take away as many jobs. But I don't feel like you need to do that, Linda. I don't think any normal person needs to do that.
Oh, okay.
I think you can just plug in your Orbi network, and the minimum thing I would do is turn off the Wi-Fi, because the Wi-Fi opens you up to a security vulnerability that you don't need because you're using
turn
a different
off the Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi
where?
At the Telmex router.
Well, if you go into your computer and you bring up
the web page,
isn't your Telmex off then?
Well, but it's still broadcasting unless you turn it off.
How do you do that?
That's what we're talking about. And most of these Telmex routers, if you look on the side, they may have a physical button that you can just press, and it'll turn off your Wi-Fi. So it's as easy as pressing a button on the side of the router. If your router doesn't have that, then you may need to go into the website of that router and configure it the same way you might configure a D-Link or Linksys or a DDWRT router.
Right. You'd well, that's need, what I have, a DDWRT router now. I have a Buffalo.
Well, I mean, all that's extraneous.
And that's all I use.
I thought you were getting this Orbi thing going.
I am. I have it. I just ordered it last night.
Okay. So what you for the simplest configuration, you're going to want to get rid of the Buffalo.
Oh, I know.
Plug in the new Orbi stuff.
Get rid of the bridge.
And turn off the Wi-Fi on your Telmex router.
Just the
Wi-Fi.
Huh?
Just the Wi-Fi. Because at the very least, it may cause confusion because it's another Wi-Fi around you. Minimally, it may cause conflicts because it's broadcasting Wi-Fi right alongside your new system. And at the very worst, it's a security access vulnerability because it's a Wi-Fi that's hanging out there that's not intended to be used but can be hacked on.
But that satellite that's out in the living room will have the Wi-Fi plugins, right?
Yeah. We're talking about just the equipment.
Needs to plug in.
Okay. We're just talking about the equipment that Telmex delivers. The modem that creates
so
the high speed connection.
So we can turn the Wi-Fi off on the Telmex router.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I never did that.
And there's probably, if you look along the edge of the router you have, you may find a little recessed-in plastic button that says WLAN, Wireless LAN. And if you press that button, it'll turn it on or off. And most of the Telmex routers that I come across have this button. And they have a light in the front that indicate that the Wi-Fi network's working. You've seen that on all the routers. And if you press that button, that light should turn off and stay off. Thank you. Coffee.
Oh. Okay.
And that'll eliminate, since you're already using different Wi-Fi connection technology in the first place, equipment.
Are you suggesting that because she's adding this other?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I'm going to take the Buffalo off so it'll be gone.
Right.
Take the bridge off so it'll be gone.
Yeah, your current extender, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Current extender in the living room. That'll be gone.
You remove all that, and then you'll plug in the base station for the Orbi.
In the bedroom.
And then you'll
another one in the satellite in the living room.
Yeah, and there's going to be some kind of pairing that has to happen, and I've not used the Orbi. With the Eero, it was supposed to happen automatically using an app on your phone and a Bluetooth connection. It never worked right. But the people at Eero, their tech support people, were able to do it from their desk there.
Bill, didn't the Orbi say that it was using a Wi-Fi connection?
This is for setup. This is for the pairing between the puck and the base station I'm talking about.
Maybe you need to hire Scott.
Just... Well, you'll look at the instruction. I've got a feeling there's going to be like a 5-point instruction sheet that's going to be plug this in, turn this on, push this button, and
well,
it should just
everybody
happen.
Everybody on their comments said that it was really simple.
Yeah.
And it is rated higher than the...
Than the Eero?
Than the Eero, and or Eero, however
you want. Yeah, Eero, however. Yeah.
And it was this one was less money. It says it's a mini, but it says 4,000 square feet, so we don't even come close to that. So,
yeah, so it should be fine. The problem isn't the distance. The problem is any rebar cement construction that's breaking down.
Yeah.
All right, and then we have this other stuff in our house that looks like a, what would you call it, Bill? Looks like a fiber with little pieces of like wood. When they cut out to put in the new mini split,
okay,
they showed us this piece.
Insulation, right?
Asbestos.
This piece of wall board that was...
Asbestos?
It was...
Yeah, I wonder. The house was built in like 1970.
Yeah, very possible.
Some kind of fiber something, and
do we have any contractors in the audience?
Square.
It sounds like insulation.
Yeah. Send it off.
Who knows?
The last time,
right?
Who knows?
but my house is about the same age, and you do find strange things.
You do. There is some red brick in there, but we also found this.
That's funny. I've never heard about that in the wall. Now, I've definitely ran into that, like digging a hole. Like just all kinds of debris and garbage. Yeah. It's like, this was such a pretty garden. Where did this plastic bottle come from? I've lived here the whole time. What did they do? Who are they?
They sneak in the night. They come and bury stuff in the garden.
Yeah. They bury the garbage, you know?
Well, I do know that before I bought my lot, we had to, or when I bought my lot, we had to clean it up. And there was all kinds of dumpings that had been done on the lot. And as we put a trailer on it, started living there, I watched as nearby some worker would come and now dump stuff on the lot right next to me.
Archaeological dig.
Well, did you have a question?
Yeah, way back. What's a buffalo?
Oh, it's just a name brand for a router. It's saying Linksys or Netgear. That's what a buffalo is.
We had a program in that let you do other things.
It's one of the notorious platforms people still use them. The DDWRT is a great open source platform for routers. And it would allow you to take a consumer-grade router, replace the software, and then take advantage of features that you normally would have to pay hundreds and thousands of dollars for. Mm-hmm. Things like limiting people's bandwidth. like in your house, with DDWRT, you could do things like, say, my kid's cell phone can't be on the internet after 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
You could do stuff that. And you could do it with a router that cost you $80 to $120. Mm-hmm. Yeah, back when those weren't features. These new mesh networks are amazing. The Eero would show me on my phone every device that was using it to connect to the internet. Mm-hmm. And I could pick a device like my kid's cell phone and say, get off the network, and they couldn't get back on unless I authorized it. It was very impressive management.
Control freak, yeah.
So you have the Eero now?
No, I don't. This is when I was experimenting with it, and then after I set it up for my customer, but I don't have it now.
Oh, okay.
I want it to be one of the next things I buy, but I haven't. Our Wi-Fi hasn't suffered from anything recently. There hasn't been any reason to replace any of our equipment. But it will be. I'll go to a mesh network as soon as I start having problems again. And the problems will come from security holes that won't be fixed. So that'll be the reason you'll upgrade, is because there'll be some attacker that can take advantage of your equipment and put in some malicious software. It'll be security certificates that will be updated in the industry that will be the new standard. And they won't support them on the equipment you're currently using. So the easiest thing to do is just go out and buy another router. Or it'll be like my neighborhood. We'll end up having so much more Wi-Fi around it that it'll interfere with my ability to have a good network. And so I have to just go out and buy new equipment.
I have a
Or CFE blows up my house. Sorry, Linda, what was that?
I said I have one of those TP routers.
Yeah, TP-Link.
A box brand new that I've never used, because I bought it for like a backup in case something happened. But the reason I'm staying on that Buffalo router, we used to have a TV service that was on these antennas, dishes, and it was all controlled with that DDWRT in that Buffalo router. I had that router now a long time,
It's still DDWRT allows you to have access to features that still aren't being, very intricate, very specific features.
Yeah.
Whereas even the Eero, even with these apps on the phone to configure stuff like that, they're still narrowing in on the general use. Like the thing with being able to choose what device is online at any given time, that's a real parental control feature that any parent could recognize. It's like, turn this off after 9, turn it back on after 7. Those things most people can relate to, but DDWRT would allow you to do things like take a router and turn it into a VPN connection and link two sides of it, and just very, very sophisticated
over
features that you don't find in consumer grade routers.
Way over my
head. So,
did you guys? I'm sorry, Linda. Do you have one more thing?
One more thing I was going to say Bill and I bought this little unit called a cubby. We found it at Home Depot. And you plug it in and you can control your air conditioners.
Oh,
so
really?
Come on and turn off when you want them.
Okay.
Okay, and you control it all with your phone or your tablet.
Okay, so it's like a smart outlet you just plug it into, like
so
your wall unit?
We went away last week and we turned it off.
Okay.
And we were in Hermosillo. And so on the way home, we just turned it back on and we came home. The house was nice and cool. Nice.
That's awesome.
And the only thing that we found on it is the air conditioners on the remotes have a lot of highs and lows that you can go through on the fan. And when the cubby, it only has like small, medium, and large type thing. And so
is it C-U-B-B-Y?
No, C-U-B-Y.
Cubby.
Cubby, cubby. And we bought it at Home Depot in Hermosillo. I mean, a Home Depot in Guaymas.
Indeed.
You can buy them in the U.S. too. The only negative for me was I had to call and they had to fix it because their problem with them is, and they haven't fixed them, is if you have more than one air conditioner, it's turning them all on because they're all on the same frequency, those Mirages. So
I'm getting it now. This is like a remote control.
Correct. It's a little box with three little lights, and you set it up.
But how does it end up turning on? I mean, does it have to physically be pointed at the remote control?
No.
Or at the
it's frequency.
It's frequency.
It's frequency.
That's very cool.
What you do is you basically do it and you pair it. Okay, so the problem is we have a 1.5 in the living room and a 1 in the dining room.
I want
we
this.
We set it up for the living room.
I totally want this.
But it turns on the one in the dining room, too.
No, this is awesome. Could you imagine? I bet you could geolocate on it. Yeah. As you're approaching the house, you get like 10 minutes away from your house, and it just turns the air conditioner on for you. Yeah.
So if you, so we've got the cubby here, and here's the cubby, C-U-B-Y.
Next killer app for San Carlos.
And then it's got the temperature, and you can just turn it here. You can turn it on and off from here, and they tell you they really want you to control it
from the phone,
not from the remotes. Once you set it up,
oh okay,
you can control it from the phone. You can control the temperature, and it's very sensitive. So, like if you do one thing, the temperature might go way up or go way down. And then you can do the fan speed. But so you can turn it on and off. So, like, if I wanted to right now, I could just turn it off. It would turn it off at home.
Right, right.
Doesn't
that's great.
Does it though connect with your remote? Or well, does it connect with the
I think that's
itself?
What Linda's saying what? Is this is a remote that's connected to your Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
Got that.
Right? So it's a
just
remote.
It's a little box. It's this big. It just plugs in right near your...
I could swear mine is an infrared remote control.
Okay, well, Mirage has a remote control too.
A wireless remote control.
The door on the Mirage, you put it up there. There's like a little place for it.
Oh, okay. Oh, there's like a storage space up there.
There's a little storage space. So I know someone who just went and bought. They're about the same price.
$70. So it's like a receiver. It's a Wi-Fi. Oh,
that's all this is. It's a little receiver. It's got three little buttons on the top, and you just paired it with the phone.
But
and it's all controlled.
But so did you have to put? I am just fascinated. Did you have to put another part near the infrared
the
receiver?
Little cubby.
Okay.
Since
all right. That makes sense.
I happen to have a little unit right in between my dining room, living room thing, and I've got it sitting up there on the top. But you can put it anywhere close.
Sure, because it's radio. It's not
right,
light.
It's radio.
But it talks to a remote that is radio and light.
Right.
Gotcha.
You're supposed to be
that's
able
really
to
cool.
name them.
Yeah, okay.
They're all on the same frequency.
Mm. Well, if you could...
So what's
if
good
you could,
for one is good for all.
Right.
Well... If that is an option, then you must naming it must allow you to control them individually.
Well, I called them.
Yeah.
No,
they haven't done that
is
yet.
Those two Mirages. Yeah. And I called them, and the guy was really helpful. He said, "Well, they're working on it."
Okay.
So there was no
get used to that answer, because that's why my Euros experience was like, hey, your software all looks like it works, but it doesn't work. And they're on the other end with the serial number going, hold on a second. Okay, yeah, now it's working. There you go. Now it's working. And that was my whole experience. There was a software update between the time I tested it and the time I installed it. And while we were dealing with a new problem that I hadn't seen before, where the old problem went away, there was a software update in my hand while I was dealing with it. And they were telling me on the other end, we are addressing that issue with a software update. It'll be out shortly. And I mean, that's how fast this stuff is hitting our markets right now.
Okay, so the problem with this is, if I go over and turn off the one in my dining room, which I don't need, except for like in the evening when I'm cooking, because that was the reason we put it over there, because it gets too hot in the kitchen. Okay, as soon as your unit on the wall makes some kind of adjustment, the other one comes on.
I understand.
There's like, unless they have some way to separate the two numbers or the frequency on the two.
Oh, it'll be coming. You can imagine it'll be coming.
You know, it's like your garage door opener.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But if you don't change those little codes, somebody can walk right in front of your door and press the button and your garage door
does
opens.
The software look like you could own more than one of those puck remotes that's broadcasting? Would that be the solution, is to get another set and put a set on one and set on the other?
This seems to be that you can line them up. This seems to be...
I'm just thinking, like, what about if you have an air conditioner in the States that you want to control? Can you buy another one for the air conditioner in the States and run it on the same software? So if that's the case, then you know, the dumbed-down version of doing what you want is to buy another set and put that on the air conditioner in the other room.
Yeah. See, add a cubby?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you can add the cubby. Okay, and now this is what it looks like.
So you could add a whole nother device system. So until they've worked out their software for individual frequencies,
really
you could just buy another one.
Yeah, but to me, spending $70 to control the other one isn't worth it.
Yeah. God, but $70 for the main room of the house is really nice.
That'd be great, except if you have one in Denver and one here. Denver's
it's just turning on all the time. Every time I turn on the Mexican, there's like icicles inside your house. I had no idea. Why do we have such a high electric bill in Denver?
Yeah, if there was any way to change the frequency on the one air conditioner.
For TVs came out. How lazy can you be?
Right?
I remember they were clickers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like audio clickers. I remember my grandparents had a TV like that.
First remote control I had for a TV, the box was that long with a slider on
it. Doesn't really see it. It must be infrared.
That is infrared. That's got to be what that is. That is really cool.
Yeah, there's a cable going across the living room floor.
So you stick one of those
base Wi-Fi controller.
Put one of those in each room, and then you have internet-based Wi-Fi controller. $70. From what this looks like, it almost looks like. Well, do you have line of sight to the two air conditioner units?
Yeah.
So it looks to me like it's infrared.
Yeah, it is infrared.
Yeah, so right. So it's not distinguishing between the two units.
Right.
So the solution would be to buy another unit.
I don't think that would really work.
You just add another cubby.
When I called them.
Wait, that's physically. Another thing. You'd have to move it physically so it wasn't in line of sight of the other unit.
The two units are on the same wall.
Right.
One's in the house is little.
Yeah.
One's in the living room and one's in the dining room.
Just put a piece of cardboard right on that side.
That's what I was going to say. Put a piece of tape on the infrared eye.
Come on. This is Mexico. You can solve this problem.
The infrared eye is on the units.
Duct tape.
On the mirages. Yeah,
you can get a little motor on a timer that will slide down a mirror when you need to turn on the other unit so that cardboard can sit there 24/7 and this mirror can slide down in front and bounce the signal over to the other.
We haven't figured out if we could do the ones in the bedroom because they were not. What do you call those kind we bought? Inverters.
Inverters.
The ones in the living room are inverters. The ones in the bedrooms are just air conditioners.
Inverters just for the compressor motor.
But I'm not sure the timers
like
work on regular
no.
air conditioners. It says it'll work on any air conditioner with a remote.
It makes it so the air conditioner doesn't have to work as hard if there's not a load. You know what I mean?
Probably have to put another cubby in the bedroom if you want to.
It's like a phase. It's like a phase conversion for the motor, so it doesn't use as much electricity.
Oh, okay, all right, I got you. I was way over on the other side of the whole equation. You're at the beginning of the equation, and I'm at the end of it, going, "Where's my coal there?"
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is the inverters only
in the car.
Well, I got home.
They're only worth it if
there's no load.
Yeah, if there's no load, you know what I mean? So if you need full AC all the time, you know, it's not worth paying the $200 or $300 to save, you know.
Right.
$50 on
it.
It'd be like if you were using your air conditioner in December, then it might have some benefit to you. Gotcha.
Has our class started yet? Or our club or whatever
you want? No.
What club are you guys in?
Art.
I think it'll be another 3 weeks or so. I don't know.
Anyway.
Okay, well, I've got topics. I've got amazing topics that just blow my mind. If nobody else has any other topics, I'll bring some stuff up.
Nothing about Kavanaugh.
Nothing about Canada Kavanaugh.
No,
we're not talking
politics.
About... Yeah, no politics today.
I mean, get your hand off my knee.
Yes, true.
So don't go there. Don't go there. I got much better stuff.
Good.
Did you guys see the news about the Bloomberg article of compromised server board chips?
Mm-hmm.
Where this whole thing has come out showing that motherboards provided by a company called Supermicro that were supplied by Elemental Technologies has been supplying these boards to the Defense Department, drones, Navy warships, as well as companies like Apple and Amazon. There's this claim that they have found microprocessors on these boards that are the size of a grain of rice or maybe a sharpened pencil tip that include processors, memory. I mean, this is all doable. Memory and network controllers all in this grain of rice and allow for remote control or infection of any of those boards. And it's built right on the board. I mean, this is like really serious stuff.
Where did the board come from?
Russia.
They came from China. Everything comes from China, though.
Yeah.
They came through Supermicro, and the parts were supplied by Elemental. Now, the story is that Amazon was looking at acquiring Elemental Technologies back in 2015. The story is that they've known about this stuff for the last 3 to 4 years and have not told us any of this has happened. And that they were going to buy Elemental Technologies. They reviewed the units. They had units sent out to a third party for review and discovered this little chip on these boards that were not in the original plans. And so the story is that Amazon informed the Department of Justice or FBI, whatever route you're supposed to go with that kind of story. I don't claim to understand all that. I'm sorry. I'm your friendly neighborhood computer consultant. But they informed the people they were supposed to inform, and the thought is that they were told to shut up. And that they weren't because it was such a widespread problem that they didn't have solutions in place for what was going on, and they needed to keep it hush-hush. This is all speculation on both the writer of the article and the people that are reading this information.
Were these boards available on commercially purchased computers or laptops?
Not what we're talking about here, but the implication is absolutely yes. I mean, if this is a true story, then there's no reason for this not to be a true story in all aspects of our digital life. because of this is such an amazing and it's amazing to see it so deeply rooted inside government resources. We have seen this happen before. We've seen malware go out on computers that were brand new right off the assembly line. We've seen credit card robbers, devices that were put into purchasing machines for grocery stores, mm-hmm. right? And we found out that was happening at the supply chain. So this kind of stuff is happening. We found out that the NSA is not... I mean, they're not against grabbing an Amazon order and compromising that new laptop or that new desktop computer en route, wow. and then send it on because they needed to have access to where whoever was either a drug cartel or a politician or somebody that had bought on Amazon, and so all of the things I just said have happened. They're definitely proven. They're precedents for stuff like this being true as well.
Well, I know you have a Huawei phone.
I do.
Okay, and I've been looking at the other phone that's Chinese. Starts with an X. And
Xiaomi.
Xiaomi, right? Yeah. So I thought, because I knew at one point they said that the Chinese were putting things in the phones to spy on us.
Yeah, I heard that.
So I had thought, well, what if you buy one of these Chinese phones?
This gets weirder. The articles I read, they would refer to this as tiny spy chips. Right? Created a stealth doorway into the altered machines. Right? Just giving at the very least the ability to infuse malware in what's going on. But at that level, tech journalists were speculating, as you're installing an operating system, like say you're installing, from our perspective, this wouldn't be a real scenario, but from our perspective, just so we can wrap our heads around it, imagine you had to install Windows on your computer. As you're installing Windows, this kind of scenario could see that you're installing Windows and pick the opportune moments to insert its code into your Windows installation so that later somebody could come behind, somebody or some program could come behind and grab control of your computer, even though it was just freshly installed with a blank, with a brand new, refreshed Windows installation. So we're not talking about personal computers, but maybe we are. We just don't know. What this article is talking about is server computers, which actually one would argue is probably a bigger threat to you than your home computer because of this move towards cloud, but also because they're used in Navy warships, right? Things that launch nuclear weapons. They're used in servers like Amazon. They're used in servers like Apple. And what is very interesting is that this is Bloomberg. They say they have 17 sources and that they've been working on this story for a number of years. They're all anonymous sources. And what's interesting is Apple immediately came out with a complete denial that any of this was true. That they're criticizing the vetting of this story by Bloomberg, and it was so critical that tech journalists are saying that is a sign something's up in the first place. And that I was listening to tech journalists talking about this, and what I came up with my mind is, I wonder if Apple's trying to point a finger to something that's going on. Because the way they have denied this is asking people to go investigate whether Apple's claims are true. They haven't done a passive this is all just garbage and believe what you want, which would be a very typical way for Apple to deal with issues like this. They have said wholeheartedly, this is a lie, this has never happened, there's no proof that this has ever happened, we've never been compromised in the, I mean, these very absolute statements that Apple never makes. They never make these kinds of statements, and it begs for a journalist to go, really? Really? Is that absolutely not true? Maybe we should start digging into this and just see if this is the case. And I wonder if Apple's not doing that. If they've made this statement just to kind of push, force the hand of mainstream media to do some investigation into this, because it is absolutely true. This is happening. And they're under a non-disclosure agreement from the government not to share this stuff. It's pretty valid if it's Bloomberg and they're saying they have 17 sources and they're saying they've been working on this article for a couple of years. It's hard to say that some of this can't possibly be true. There's another denier in this group. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it's the fact that Apple has did their own review of Supermicro computers. This article says that their sources say that Apple did this review of the Supermicro computers they're using in their services. They found security concerns with the services, and they terminated a long relationship they had with Supermicro at that time, back in 2015. And they say it has nothing to do with the review that is supposedly happened from the Bloomberg article, that they terminated that relationship for completely different reasons, which also seems very suspicious, that the government is telling them, we've got these computers everywhere, we've been trying to get them out of circulation.
Would somebody with your knowledge have the ability to bypass that thing or remove it?
I wish I could claim that kind of elite abilities, but I am not that guy. but I'm probably 6 degrees away from that guy. I mean, that guy definitely exists, and those groups definitely exist. And I would say you'd have to be concerned about Russia, because whether they were involved in it or not, if you want to know who's going to be able to compromise those systems, it's going to be these mafia groups that have figured out how to make money off of ransomware and taking control of computers. They're going to figure out how to profit off of those devices.
Too easy.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing. I can't give you any advice. I can just give you hot gossip, because I don't know where this goes from here. I mean, either somebody's lying. I think that there's going to be a mixture of truth from both sides.
Bloomberg has a particularly good reputation in investigative reporting. They do.
Who is this?
Bloomberg. Oh. News agency.
There is no advice as a computer consultant I can give you. But if you're interested in this information, Google The Big Hack. That's what everybody's calling this, The Big Hack. You can watch some YouTube videos and you'll find out just how ridiculous this is. If it is true, even if parts of this are true, the Bloomberg article has pictures. Go to the I'll put the Bloomberg article on the website, sccclub.org. Just go there. I'll put the link to their article. They have got a GIF that shows you a Supermicro computer, like a server computer, and it rips away layer by layer of the components. It's a drawing. Somebody put it together as an example. So this isn't going to be an actual board. But it's to give you the perception of what they're looking for. And they narrow down on this one little tiny component you can barely see without a magnifying glass. And they identify that as what they're talking about. Then they have pictures of that little grain of rice up against the tip of your finger or a tip of a pencil for perspective. And there's no reason not to think something that small could do these things. The story here is that it's been going on since 2015, and it's been covertly kept secret because that's the best way they thought they could deal with this problem.
What are they likely gaining from that sort of intrusion? Whoever put it in there, what do they expect to gain?
Yeah, well, just the largest supercomputer in the world is the first thing that comes to my mind. I mean, the ability to collectively...
They
can hobble together all these systems and servers everywhere and use that as one big computer resource, which is a real thing. I mean, you could crunch encrypted codes that way if you needed to.
Well, look what just happened on Facebook.
Yeah,
okay, so they stole everybody. Now everybody keeps sending these things to you. Okay, and as soon as you click on that, that's where it's...
Does your computer go out? I've had that happen a couple of times.
No, but that AI. Notice that everybody, oh, somebody, blah, 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 I got AI another friend notice from you. Mm-hmm. So as soon as
oh, wow.
you click on that...
Ah, there's a sci-fi novel for you.
Why couldn't it?
Sure.
You know what I mean? I'm sitting down on the like, thing.
You know, what would... Watson,
so
the
thing
Watson
is IBM's Watson.
Yeah,
yeah. Watson's the one that's modifying anymore. The design templates.
But you can you delete it.
Why not?
Is that
well, one more step closer to Skynet.
I don't know. I told everybody to change their past
yeah.
Facebook passwords,
yeah.
But I don't even know if that's going to help.
Well, no. We never did talk about the Facebook breach, the most recent one. You're talking about the encryption keys. So what was stolen the other day was the encryption keys. And the way to think about this is when you say, remember me, and you go back to Facebook and you're just looking at your timeline, you don't have to sign in. What allows that to happen is an encryption key that is saved on your computer that's presented instead of your username and password. And if the way I understand it is if your account was one of the accounts that these keys were identified as having been stolen, then the next time you went to Facebook, that key was no longer valid and you had to sign in. Even though you've never had to sign in before, now you had to re-sign in. That creates a new encryption key and this threat is gone. This is not a big threat. Where your encryption key was lost was when you went to do a change to your timeline and you took advantage. No, I'm sorry. Anybody could have been compromised. And the way they would have done it was by pretending, by using the view as function. There's a view as function. If you've made changes to your profile picture before, you'll see there's a button there, or there was a button there, that if you pressed it, it would say, it would change your view to see what somebody other than you would see. If you went to Linda's picture as Scott, you would see it like that. If Linda wanted to see what I saw of her, she could hit this button, and her page would appear in front of her eyes as though I was looking at it or Robin was looking at it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that feature had a security hole in it where a hacker could go to your page and then view it in that mode, and it would give them your encryption key. So they had to target accounts to get the encryption keys from. That's why it wasn't everybody. That's why it was... But then Facebook was able to identify everyone that was targeted, every one of the keys that was targeted. And that's why they were able to create a list of people to disconnect and create new keys.
I was disconnected.
Yeah, a lot of people were. I mean, it was millions of people. It was.
So what are you saying? If we log out every night, then... will change this encryption every time? Or?
Well, they've taken away that feature while they're working on the security hole. They don't know of any other security hole related to it. If you do log out and log back in, that does always create a new encryption key. So that would have avoided this problem if that was your habits, were to log out and log back in. But other than that, you didn't have to change your password. Like that advice is good under so many different circumstances, but in this case, that just wasn't the case. It was keys, it wasn't passwords that were stolen, and generating a new key is as simple as re-logging in with your old password. The problem has resolved itself at that point. And that's why Facebook just made this list of people that had to re-log in, and immediately the problem went away because they patched the hole, and now you've got new keys.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what, and we'd never talked about that, but that's what happened.
It was just a pain in the butt.
Just a pain in the butt.
Really,
that's right.
They weren't doing anything malicious.
I just got a
thing. Right.
They?
They did not find any malicious behavior because of the hack, from what I understand. I may be wrong. By now, enough time's passed, maybe they figured out someone was being compromised. But you know, another compromise that happened recently that nobody was aware of, did you see that Google Plus is going to be shut down?
Yeah.
And apparently Google found out that they had a security hole back in January. Didn't inform anybody. Fixed it in March, didn't tell anybody. Decided when people found out, they're going to shut down the service. In January, they decided it was better. They made one of those economic decisions where there were so few users of the service that it was simpler for them not to tell anybody and plan on shutting down the service than it was to take the fallout of having the security vulnerability. And so right now they're getting chastised for it because people have found out about this vulnerability they didn't tell anybody about. One of the big reasons they didn't tell anybody about it was because this was during that time period that Mark Zuckerberg was in front of Congress for the Facebook breach, and they didn't want to bring 500,000 people into a 5 million person discussion. They didn't want to be held at the same level as Mark Zuckerberg when we're talking about 1/1000th of the damage. So they chose not to disclose that they had been breached. And so, right,
they have those kind of choices.
Yeah. Well, I mean, could you imagine like imagine the San Carlos Computer Club was breached, right? Like, I wouldn't bother to tell them. I wouldn't bother to. I might tell you guys. I might. I mean, come on. There's like 40 people that go to that website. Like, who cares? It's not something that needs to be disclosed to the New York Times. But Google's in a position where 500,000 people, we're just going to shut this down. It's not making us any money. Hardly anybody uses it. But now they're getting chastised for not telling anybody about
it. When you think about it, how many platforms do you need?
Right. How many people even know about Google Plus? Google did some heinous stuff with it. Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember, but they decided to bring all their stuff under one username, right? So if you remember, they wanted your YouTube, your Google, your Hangouts, all these different products that they had at the time. They had Picasa. I think they've got Google Photos now. They wanted them all under one account, and so they went through this period of time where they're forcing you to merge all these data into one account. Well, another thing they did was they forced Google Plus on YouTubers. So if you're a YouTuber, you had to fill out all the information for Google Plus, and their reasoning behind it was that, well, they're the ones that would be able to take most advantage of this new social media platform. So YouTubers were forced to get into Google Plus. They couldn't opt out of it. And so now all that information was... And they did, I mean, 500,000 people, they stole names, addresses, email addresses.
But think about this. A lot of times you go to a website and it says you can sign in with your Facebook password.
Yeah.
And you think, well, if all these people, then you can never keep in your mind your Facebook, all the websites you go to that you've signed in with your Facebook password.
Anybody could get into any one of those accounts and find out everything.
Yeah.
Well, where we're at now, if you use Google Plus, it's gone in 10 months. You've got until August to download your contents, which is, thank the GDPR for that, because that's one of the rules in Europe, is to be able to see everything that's collected on you and keep a copy of it. So if this had happened a year ago, 2 years ago, you wouldn't have any option to save anything off of it, I'm sure. But because they have to comply with GDPR, they've made a convenient function in all these services have. You can go to Facebook and you can download all your data. You can go to Google Plus and download all your data. So you have till August to download all your data, and then they're going to close the doors on you.
Well, have you ever thought about all the clouds? I mean, people putting all their stuff on all the clouds, what happens? They can get all your information off the clouds. Can't they just hack your information right off the clouds?
That's why I don't use the clouds.
I don't use the clouds.
Clouds. Anything I want to use is in my computer. on an external hard drive.
Would you access the internet with it?
Was it a computer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Probably something in there you don't want.
I've had a strange thing lately on Facebook. And it's, I'm sure, by some PAC political action committee or some Trump nut somewhere. But every time I click on something not pro-Trump,
okay,
my computer shuts down. Totally. Just goes flat.
I believe you.
I really do.
We don't know.
I can't find it. Have you run Malwarebytes yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They cleaned up a couple of things. The thing, my computer's only a month old. I just bought it. Something strange is happening.
You have got to verify that. You need to do that a number of times to make sure that, and do it against contracting contra information. Like you assigned it to a political thing, right?
No, I never.
Like a double blindfold.
I try to keep my mouth shut on the.
But what you're saying is, when you click on anything that's not Trump rhetoric, yes, it shuts down.
Yes.
So you need to
only on Facebook, though.
Okay, you need to click on Trump rhetoric and verify that this problem is not happening.
And then the opposite.
Make sure you do a lot on both sides of that, because that's a crazy claim, and I hope it's not true. But
oh, it is true.
I believe her.
Five or six times.
Wow.
And
when you say shut down, like it logs you out of Facebook.
I end up with a screen that's gray, and then I have
frozen.
First time it happened, I called Best Buy and they said, hold the button down for 30 seconds. Then I turned it on, and came back on, and that particular item that I was trying to read disappeared. It wasn't on Facebook anymore. It was gone.
That's why I always take screenshots, like if something kind of controversial, but I'll take a real quick screenshot. I was just looking at it, went away. It's like,
you're talking about when you're looking at something that's so hard to believe that you better capture, because no one's going to believe you. Right? Because by the time it's gray, it's too late for a screenshot.
Right.
But when you're looking at something, it's like, my God, that was posted? Jeez, everyone can see that? Because that could disappear very quickly.
Even on Ford's testimony.
Interesting.
Certain aspects of it were deleted.
I believe it.
Well, I brought one other need to know, but don't need to know anymore. But you might need to know, if it's happened to you, about Windows updates. And I tell you, this is a real dropping the ball of Microsoft. They have been pushing this idea of Windows as a service for Windows 10. Windows 10 is Windows as a service. It's, you don't buy this software, call it your software, put it in your computer, you're a Windows owner. You're not an owner. You are subscribed to a service, and by terms of service, you have elected to let them change it whenever they deem fit. You are automatically taking updates to the software. You're taking security fixes and feature updates to the software. You're allowing features to be taken out of your computer if you've become attached to them. And you decide. I'll give you an example of a scenario that could happen. You fall in love with the Photos app. They decide to start charging for the Photos app. This is the thing that you've agreed to by using Windows 10, and they have stumbled and stumbled and stumbled along the way. And we've been patient, and they've done a fairly decent job most of the time. There have been people out there complaining about little problems. The most recent little problem for the most recent update to the operating system is they delete all the data in your computer by accident.
Is that...
That's through Windows updates.
Now?
Right now. But they have stopped it 4 days after they released it. Now, people have suffered from this. Now, what this means is, what we're talking about is my documents, my music, my downloads. Those files, when you think of the, we're talking about the libraries, and when I say libraries, you should be thinking my documents, my music, my videos, my everything that you normally keep in those areas has gotten erased from this October update. The version number is 1809. Before this, it was 1803. Do not, I know the psychology in this, so keep in mind that when people say things like do not, you are inclined to go and do. It's very common.
Don't do it.
I'm telling you not to. The word is not.
Well, it's not automatic. Controlled by them.
This is, I had written this whole thing up, and for some reason I've accidentally deleted it. So I've got my own problems here. But the people affected by this problem are Windows insiders and what Microsoft calls seekers. Now, I am a seeker, and you might find yourself to be a seeker. I'll define a seeker. A seeker is someone that's infatuated with updates. They go periodically looking for updates in the Windows update function. By bringing, and Ed's a seeker, I know it. Ed's a seeker. I'm sure every time something goes goofy with his computer, he'll go and see if there's an update that he hasn't gotten yet.
I don't update. I never
update. Okay. Linda's a seeker.
Nope.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm wrong.
I'm not either.
Okay. I know you're not a seeker.
Every morning I wake up and says, you need updates.
Jim, I'm sure, is a seeker. I'm sure he's a seeker, because whenever something goofy happens, whenever the antivirus is out of date, you're looking for an update. But that's what a seeker is. It's somebody that opens up Windows updates and sees if there's any updates. In Windows 10, if you go to look, it will start looking for. And if it goes looking for, you're next in line for installing updates.
Yeah.
The act of not seeking keeps you from getting the update. Eventually, the update will be pushed out automatically. You'll have no control over it. But seekers go out, they see there's updates, and they're the first ones to get it installed.
Right.
That's right. Insiders, they get pushed the updates. The same way all of us get...
What about automatic updates, though?
That's what I'm talking about, is the automatic updates. These classifications are important to understand, because the automatic updates you cannot stop.
Right.
From, as a consumer, you can push them off temporarily, but eventually they'll install.
But in your settings, can you go somewhere and say, don't do this unless I authorize it?
No.
Okay.
You cannot do that, with the exception of the enterprise version of Windows 10, who have paid a premium price for that kind of option. And the reason that exists in the industry is because you could have software you wrote in-house that gets broken by the updates, and they have to vet the update before they can apply it across their organization.
So when that little notice comes in, ignore it.
When the notice comes in, when you say there is updates or restart to update,
sometimes when you start the computer, you get a little notice in the right-hand corner that says, such and such update is available, click now, or you need such and such update.
We're talking about Windows 10.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore. What Windows 10 does, and this is the distinction, is that it sits in updates. If you're a seeker, you go see if there's updates. At that moment, it installs the updates. Anyone else, people that ignore updates, their computer will eventually be pushed to the update. You'll have no control over it.
Now, what about...
Well, let me say that this problem is gone. This problem was reported months ago through their insider program, and Microsoft ignored it. They pushed out this update anyway. There are people out there that are missing 200 gigabytes or more. There is a story of somebody that lost 23 years of work. Right? So let me prefix this whole thing with backup, backup, always backup. Every moment you get a chance, backup. You should have an external hard drive that you're running backups on. A total system recovery would fix this. A rollback will not fix this. Those files should have been put in the Windows old directory when the update was applied. They weren't. They were vaporized. Microsoft says they can help you get your files back. I have not heard a tech person tell me how they're doing it, but at this point, from what I've heard, they're literally going to use one of those pieces of software that scours the hard drive, because they say, ceased using the computer, call Microsoft. 1-800-MICROSOFT. The easiest way to tell if you're at this new version is to right-click on the Windows button, the Start button, and choose System. It will bring up a page in your settings, the About, and if you look down at the Build, it'll say 1803 or 1809. If it says 1809, you're one of the folks that have gotten upgraded. The next step would be to go look in My Documents. If they're blank, you're suffering from this problem. If you're suffering from this problem, call 1-800-MICROSOFT.
From here?
The new build is 1809.
The new build is 1809. Okay. It is not available any longer, but I still don't recommend anyone be a seeker like me.
Well, you are a seeker.
I am totally a seeker.
You're
I'm always
all in to be seeker, so you wouldn't feel so bad.
I'm always looking for updates. It's part of my job. It's part of what I do. Is I'm always looking for updates. The moment this hit press, I immediately trained myself not to be looking for updates because I don't want to be recovering, and I immediately put my external backup on my laptop and all relevant computers to get a full backup of everything in case it were to happen by accident, because that was the fear that this. Now, I said there are insiders in Microsoft. What insiders are, and any one of us could end up being an insider, it is in the Windows settings. Under the update settings, you can choose to be an insider. Mm-hmm. Insiders get automatic updates for these type of things first. So while they're holding off on everyone else, they're guinea pigging insiders with these new updates. And that's how Microsoft knew months ago this was a problem, because insiders had recognized it as a problem, reported it to Microsoft, and Microsoft lost the reports. I mean, they weren't lost. They were out there to be found.
They updated their system and got wiped out in documents.
they just ignored it. Whatever system they were using for keeping track of it. I could imagine insiders generate hundreds of thousands of reports all the time. And so it would be easy to be lost in the minutia. The screenshot I saw showed 9 upvotes. Right. Well, that's not going to get a flag when you got hundreds of thousands of reports out there. That's just not enough to get a flag. But having somebody lose 23 years of data, that's an easy 200 gigabytes of data lost.
I did that all on my own.
You didn't even need Microsoft's help for that.
I lost 17,000 files. Oh. Not like that.
So wouldn't the guy with that kind of have enough sense to have a backup?
That's right. That is a different discussion. There absolutely should have been a... And actually, I think that there is some people that... Some journalists that said, this happened to me. Fortunately, I had backups. I could go back to the backups. But the way this has happened, it's so destructive. It's just amazing that it could... Microsoft should have investigated the circumstances of this. If you're using OneDrive, like say you bought Office 365 and you're doing the sync between your libraries and the OneDrive, then it's recoverable from your OneDrive backup. If you're using the external backup that I've talked about before, where you can do the file history backup, that's really what's been lost. It's all your data has been lost. Your program should still be there, from what I understand. Anything you had, if you're doing Photoshop, it should still be sitting there installed in your computer. It's just every single photo you had is gone. That's the problem. The problem is Microsoft wants to pass us software as a service, and this is a big black eye and devastating for some people. Hopefully Microsoft can help the people that have lost all their grandkids' pictures, because for some people this affects our level. This isn't some corporate level. This is totally us suffering from this problem. All you had to do was go look. That's it.
We have to
designate Wednesdays as Seekers and Insiders Anonymous.
Right.
Well, let's go have a talk with Microsoft.
Apple looks better every day.
Yeah, well, they've got their own issues, especially if this thing. We've gone over. I've still got topics, but we've gone over.
Anything good?
Anything good. If you are interested in an Amazon Fire Stick, Fire TV, if you're interested in the Amazon TV, the latest stick is better than the boxes they're putting out. The latest stick is a 4K HDR stick with Adobe Atom inside. It's getting the best performance. It's $50. It's the recommendation. It's cheaper than the box that they're selling at the same time. I mean, you do miss out on things like USB ports and stuff like that, but it is. I know there's a lot of people using these sticks with services like Radiosity or Kodi. If you're going to be using those, this is the stick to buy at $50. I mentioned last week, Ed, you weren't with us, but have you seen the recast, the Amazon TV recast? This is the device to look for. This is the device that Amazon has announced for $230 or for $280. It's $229 and $279.99 probably. That is a box you hook to your network and an HDTV antenna. I think this could turn into the killer app for San Carlos. You have a house or you have a friend in Phoenix or in Las Vegas or in Los Angeles or in Seattle or in Portland, and they have, you've seen in Phoenix, they've got like over 15 HD channels just flying in the air for free. Mm-hmm. You take this box, you hook up an HD TV antenna to it, and it sucks in those channels for free and makes them available to you through your mobile device or your Amazon Fire TV device. It has scheduled programming. It is a TiVo without a monthly TiVo. Surprisingly, TiVo just announced no more monthly TiVo accounts. This is a Sling Box for over-the-air broadcast TV. The Sling Box has always been a neat idea, but you have to maintain high-speed internet and TV service, either cable TV or satellite TV. That's an expensive bill. This pulls one of those bills away from you. This is, I want ABC, I want NBC, I want CBS, I want Fox, I want to be able to watch my local football games, I want to see PBS. This is covering that niche in your local market.
So you just plug in like a zip code or something that picks up?
No. That box exists where that HD TV antenna is. So, like, it wouldn't make sense for me to have in Anchorage because there's only, like, three or four HD TV stations broadcasting. Even worse where we're located because we're in a valley. So we get nothing. We'd have to put a, you know, we'd have to have, like, a radio station antenna on top of our house to take advantage of it.
You go through a withdrawal, don't you?
but Phoenix, I got a buddy in Phoenix that has plenty of bandwidth through Comcast. And he in Phoenix is so flat, he gets over 15 HD TV antennas off of a set of old rabbit ears he hooked up to his TV set. You put a little height on that with a true HD TV antenna, you're going to be bringing in 20 HD quality channels for free. And it is going to be ABC, NBC, CBS. It's going to be the main network. So ones we complain about not being able to get from DirecTV.
Unfortunately, right? QVC.
Yeah, that as well.
That won't work down here, will it?
Well, that's the point. is that's sitting in that market. That's sitting over there where supposedly you own a house. You have legal rights to that. But then it's a streaming box. It doesn't connect to any TV set. It connects to your Wi-Fi. And then you get to be able to look at that programming in real time or recorded on a 500 gigabyte hard drive over there or a 1 terabyte hard drive over there, like a TiVo, from any device on the network. So you could do it through the Amazon Fire TV app on your Amazon or on your Android device or on your Fire TV that you have plugged in, the stick I just mentioned. It shows up. I imagine the best experience is you have an Amazon TV stick in your HDTV, and typically you'd see your programming in your apps there. Right alongside, you have all your local TV listed right there to be accessed just the same way. I haven't heard anything about the Apple TV, but they have the Amazon TV app for iOS, so you can do it on your iPad or your Apple phone. Can you guys see the value of this? This is amazing.
I say it's a gimmick because did you read the whole thing?
Yeah.
Everything on there is a subscription.
What are you talking about?
On that TiVo box. Read down.
Oh, you're talking about TiVo's box. I'm still talking about the Amazon TV.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the TiVo.
Now, everything I just said is for the Amazon TV Recast. There are no apps on the Amazon TV Recast. There's this. It is a DVR for over-the-air HD TV broadcasts.
Okay, not the TiVo.
Nothing about TiVo. Oh. TiVo just announced subscription-free at the exact same time because they know this is a killer app for a lot of people.
It's called Recast, huh?
Recast. It's $229 right now. It comes out November 14th. So everything I have just said is what they're saying it's going to do.
I'm still lost a little bit.
With what this is?
I got the box here in San Carlos.
Okay.
Whatever. What do I hook up to?
You don't. You take the box and you hook it up to your house in the United States or your grandkids' house in the United States.
Oh, I see. And then
pick the people that have the most free stations being broadcast. Phoenix is a great example, or Las Vegas would be a great example, right? Where it's just flat and there's a huge population and there's all these broadcasters. This is HD quality TV for free. I mean, it comes with advertising and all the stuff in the local market.
Yeah,
football games, baseball games, all that stuff that happened locally.
Okay, I have DirecTV out of Phoenix.
This has nothing to do with DirecTV.
Well, what I'm saying is I get all of that.
Right, be out of Phoenix. And you pay a DirecTV.
But certain times of the year, due to astronomical.
Right, weather conditions,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, it pixelates on particularly like PBS.
Okay. Sunspots, they called those back in the old days.
Okay. This will not provide you with the other services of DirecTV.
Okay, but on the local channels.
Absolutely.
Would I be able to see them without this pixelating?
Yes, because they're coming to you through the internet.
Yeah.
They're not coming to you through the satellite
dish.
Okay. And that's the problem you're suffering from DirecTV is that, that just like Ed just said, like sunspots. Mm-hmm. The weather is affecting your ability to bring in that satellite picture.
Okay. One thing you do, is that your DirecTV account?
Mm-hmm.
You should have a password, and you could put that on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a Roku box, you can mirror screen on your TV.
I don't have nothing. I don't want them to know I'm doing this, and it's been fine for 25 years.
I'm just telling
and
you.
I'm not telling anybody anything.
I think there is a lot of us that don't care about HBO anymore because we care about Netflix.
Yeah.
We don't care about that 300 channels of stuff you don't watch. We care about the local stuff. We care about the big networks because they're the hardest to get a hold of.
That's why I use Stereo.
So, yeah, so you take a device like this and you pair it with services like Netflix and you've covered your whole gambit of things that matter to you. Couple of things that they're saying right out of the box. You can buy the $229.99 version has a 500 gigabyte hard drive and two tuners. What that means is you can stream in real time and you can record at the same time, or you can do two recordings at the same time. they say that you can pair unlimited number of devices to this device, but you can only run two streams at a time. So, like, everyone in your family, every tablet in your family can be configured to access this device, but only two of you are able to take advantage of it at one time. The living room and the bedroom at the one time, right?
That's the same thing with the sling box.
Okay.
My brother's on Dish, and he can have up to five units on, you know.
Okay.
And if too many people get on it, it won't let you access it.
The 100 and or the $279.99 device, which is like $50 more expensive, and from what I understand, the prices I'm quoting are their buy it now prices. They are predicting to go up in price. They're trying to get a sales price on it. That unit is a 1 terabyte hard drive. They're saying represents 150 hours of recordings. That has 4 tuners in it. So you can record up to 4 things at the same time. You can watch a stream and record 3 things at the same time, in real time. Or you can have 2, it still has the 2 limitation on it. You can have 2 active streams going and 2 recordings at the same time. But it's still the living room and the bedroom. Now, they haven't talked anything about what if you buy more devices, which I'm very curious about. Because you could set up some bogus Amazon accounts simply to have more devices, right? You have a Fire TV stick in every room of your house, but you have to buy one of these devices every 2 rooms so that you can have that. Or maybe you want to have different programming. Like maybe I want to buy a device and send it to New York with my friend Theo and another one to my friend JD in Phoenix so that I can get East Coast and Mountain programming at the same time. Well, right now there's no discussion of that. So in my mind, I can only envision it as 2 separate Amazon accounts that I'm actually using in the same house. But this is very neat tech. I think you guys can kind of, this makes sense, right? What I'm talking about. You can see the value in that down here. Because anywhere on the internet, you're supposed to be allowed to stream this stuff. It's your Amazon account.
I'm wondering if Chapa or Gabrielle know about this.
It's just been announced, okay. So there's a good chance they don't.
So wait a year.
Well, November 14th is when it's going to start proving itself. Right. That's when they're going to start shipping. And so we're going to start hearing people's experiences with it. It is also Amazon. I wouldn't put it past them to take a device that reads really nice like this and then do 6 months of that and go, well, that's not really the best service, and turn right around and turn it into something else. What I do know is that they've investigated this already with the FCC. I don't know if you guys remember services like Aereo. Aereo was a service where you rented an HDTV antenna in some market, and so they got in trouble because that wasn't where you lived. That antenna that you were renting wasn't in your local market. And they couldn't prove that you were the only one using it. And that's what shut down their service. Otherwise, it was very similar. They were offering you local area broadcasting anywhere you were on the internet. This is satisfied by you're owning the antenna, you're doing the broadcasting to the internet, very much like Slingbox does.
So you need a VPN with this service?
No, you don't. Not from what I understand. We're going to find out November 14th, but you don't need a VPN for Slingbox.
Well, you can buy Sling has its own separate account now. You got like 20 channels or something.
But you don't have to do anything to tell Sling you're not in Mexico, because Sling doesn't care, because you're watching what you're entitled to because of the services you pay for. They're just broadcasting it through the internet. Whereas when you use Netflix down here, you're only entitled to the Netflix content that's licensed for Mexico. So you use a VPN, or you used to use a VPN, to give the illusion that you're in the United States so you can watch the content they're licensed to. Because you own this HDTV antenna, because the box is broadcasting from your local market, there's no reason, it's the same thing as Slingbox. There's no reason for it to assume that you're doing it in violation of anything. Yeah, I think this is an amazing product.
It's called Recast, huh?
Recast, and there are tech people out there poo-pooing it because there's so many options out there. What do you care? How does this help you?
It does down here.
But it does in this instance where you want to watch your local market somewhere else on the internet.
Anybody that travels.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and so many, I mean, cable and satellite are so undesirable nowadays. You have 300 channels of stuff you're not interested in. but fortunately, NBC's in good quality, and I like HBO movies,
well,
so I pay a
UBC
premium price
at least
for it.
5 or 6 times. And then they have, where did I sign up for? I signed up for DirecTV up in Colorado Springs. And their basic thing. Well, I got NBC, CBS, ABC, CW, and Fox. And then I got 90 other channels. You can buy Dr. Ho's back cure, or you can buy, you know, 90 different channels.
Go into the 300s and the 500s. It gets a little better.
Well, it's just nuts, though, because really, you're satisfied with a movie selection and whatever happening right now in HDTV quality. You want to watch the news, or you want to see the football game, or you want to see what's on NBC tonight, or even better, because of the DVR, I like NCIS. I can this is the part that I love, is that you couple this with Amazon devices. And you can tell your Amazon TV, record every NCIS show that comes on local broadcast, and then you're not worrying about when it's on. It's just popping up in your feed on your Amazon TV when it's available.
That works.
Yeah. I think this could turn into the killer app for San Carlos.
Well, the thing I like about the local HDTV type thing is I watch PBS. I like public broadcasting. I don't like the advertisements and all that other crap. But with public broadcasting in Colorado Springs, Channel 6 has Channel 6-1, 2, 3, and 4.
Right, yeah.
Well, if you go to the cable, you get Channel 6-1. Well, all the good stuff's over on the other stuff, you know. And you can't get that off of the cable or the satellite.
Because they're not providing it?
No.
No, they don't.
They don't provide
Phoenix
it at all.
Phoenix does the same thing.
Phoenix does the same thing? Because when you're on the antenna, you get 0.1, 0.2, 0.3.
No, you don't with DirecTV. You get 1.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
But the selection off of an HDTV antenna in Phoenix is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You feel like you're having a cable experience, except stuff's more relevant.
Yeah. I get 37 channels off of a
off an HDTV antenna.
Yeah.
So imagine having that in your house down here. Or imagine being able to have a program guide and select the things that matter to you and have all that being recorded for you for when you're down here watching it.
Works for me.
Yeah, I think this device is awesome. I think it's awesome. I haven't even touched one. It hasn't been produced. Hasn't been sold to anybody. My opinion will change next month, in the middle of next month, I'm sure.
We used to call that vaporware.
It is vaporware at the moment.
Dr. Blake Misters. Are you into that? Have you been watching them?
Uh-uh.
Oh, they're good.
All right.
PBS. Yeah.
Practically everybody is gone. Thank you for staying with me to the end. It reassures me that I'm not the only one that thinks I'm interesting.
We'll leave that alone.
You three found me interesting too, or tolerable to a fault. Thank you for coming. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson. We broadcast every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15-ish. See you guys. Thanks for staying until the end. We try to focus on tech topics that are relevant to Mexico, expats, people that are retired, yada, yada, yada. We like tech news. We like to help each other with tech problems. We like to find solutions to obscure things that happen in our part of Mexico. Hey, James. James is back. Is he on this camera? No, he's on this camera. It's just me and James now. I'm from International Computer Solutions with over 20 years of experience in the industry for outsourced IT. I do it privately. I also do it for corporations. If you have any tech issues on the internet, anywhere in the world, I would be happy to charge you for my help. So get a hold of me through internationalcs.net. If you love our computer club, which you should, and you're interested in anything we've done in the past, if any of this is relevant, you can rewatch it anytime. Just come to our website at sccclub.org. Look for our YouTube channel, sccclub.org, on YouTube, where all these recordings are being saved. If you're interested in this as a podcast, I record that audio and I produce that as a podcast. You can find that in your podcast catcher. Just go to something such as iTunes or Podcast Addict and search for San Carlos, the San Carlos Computer Club. And that will bring up, you can subscribe, and each week you will find a new copy of the audio of this meeting. Thank you again for joining us. This is Scott Stimson saying, tech on. There we go.
I guess that kid in there. You see it? He's got a fez.